engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. Delighted to have you with me. I hope you moms had a great Mother's Day. I made my wife a fantastic dinner and left the dishes in the sink so she didn't have to deal with them last night. I cleaned. Some people can't take a joke. I put that on Twitter last night. I can't believe you did that. Oh, come on. I cleaned up the dishes as well. All right. We have to begin with what is the most important story of the day. Now, this actually is, I'm going to play you audio. The audio I'm about to play you is the most important thing you're going to hear today. It's not going to sound like it's the most important thing you're going to hear today, but it is the most important thing you're going to hear today. This is Fareed Zakaria on CNN.
When President Biden made clear he was going to run for re-election, I had a sense of what his election strategy was and thought it was an intelligent path to victory. After the chaos of COVID and Trump, Joe Biden would stand for normalcy and a rising tide of good economic news. Donald Trump would divide Republicans, with significant chunks of the party wishing that someone like Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis would be their nominee. Meanwhile, Trump would unite and motivate Democrats, allowing President Biden to focus on the votes of independents in swing states who threw the Electoral College to Trump in 2016 and to Biden in 2020. I have to admit, none of this is playing out as I thought it would. Trump is now leading in almost all the swing states, but behind those numbers lie even more troubling details. As someone worried about the prospects of a second Trump term, I think it's best to be honest about reality. I understand that polls are not always accurate, but in general, they have tended to underestimate Donald Trump's support, not overestimate it. I doubt that there are many shy Biden voters in the country. The economy has been in a robust recovery for more than 2 years now, with unemployment hitting a 54-year low in 2023, and increasing only slightly since then. But Biden is getting little credit for it. The shift here is stark. On the question of who voters trust more to deal with the economy, Trump has a 22-point lead over Biden, according to an NBC poll from January. This marks a 15-point bump for Trump compared to the same poll in 2020. Perhaps this is because inflation is a far more pervasive problem than unemployment, affecting all Americans every day. Perhaps it's because people's views on the economy now are largely derived from their broader attitudes towards the candidates. But whatever the reasons, it's a stunning reversal in the midst of a relentless stream of good economic news. And to run for re-election, to run for...
I can stop it there. Why is this the most important audio to be played today? Because he goes on from there for several more minutes about how bad it is for Joe Biden. And how, however unfortunate it may be, the reality is that the winds have shifted dramatically against Joe Biden. Fareed Zakaria is, in fact, the one news voice Joe Biden listens to. Fareed Zakaria got a rare interview with Joe Biden because Joe Biden's such a big fan. In fact, people in Washington say if it appears on Fareed Zakaria's show, Joe Biden pays attention to it, and it's about the only show in Washington where that's true. In fact, Joe Biden talks to other people about what he sees on the show. So for Fareed Zakaria to know he has the president's ears and the president's eyes and to launch his show with Joe Biden, whether it's your fault or not, you're losing to Donald Trump. That's a really big deal, because for Fareed Zakaria to be the one to do it matters based on who watches. The man he was talking to, he has an audience of one. And Fareed Zakaria wants Joe Biden to know things aren't going your way. In fact, it's brutal, and there doesn't appear to be a way out right now. Joe Biden over the weekend told an audience in California that he doesn't believe the polling and that regardless, the momentum is shifting in his direction. That's not something a winner says. And that all came before the New York Times polling today. How bad is it? Keep in mind, whether you believe the polls or not, the Democrats do. And the New York Times Siena College poll is the most accurate pollster in America right now and got the last three elections almost dead on. Over to you, Harry Hinton at CNN.
These Sunbelt battleground states, frankly, for the Joe Biden campaign, these numbers are an absolute disaster. The smallest lead is in Arizona for Donald Trump. He's up 6. Look at this, 9 in Georgia, 13 in Nevada. My goodness gracious, my God. That is a huge lead. No Democrat has lost that state since John Kerry lost it back in 2004. How about these Great Lake battleground states? This is something that the Joe Biden campaign can work with. Look, Pennsylvania, Donald Trump up 3, but that's well within the margin of error. Wisconsin, Donald Trump up 1, well within the margin of error. And actually, a Joe Biden lead well within the margin of error, up a point here. This they can work with, the Joe Biden campaign. This, the Donald Trump campaign, absolutely loves, and it looks like a lot of the other polling out of the Sun Belt battlegrounds.
When you're looking into the numbers, why do you think Biden is doing better in the Great Lakes and Trump is doing so much better in the Sun Belt?
Yeah, the Trump coalition is changing. That's basically what's cooking here. This is at least one of the big reasons why. So this is among likely voters in these in all these battleground states we just spoke about. Back in 2020, 84% of the Trump campaigns, the Trump coalition, mm-hmm. was white. Look where it is now. It's 78%. The non-white portion of the Trump coalition, it was 13% in 2020. Look at this now. It's 19%. So the Trump coalition is becoming more diverse. And, of course, those Sun Belt battleground states are more diverse than the Great Lake battleground states.
You're looking at the Nevadas and the Arizonas here.
Of course. If you look at Nevada, Arizona, heavy Hispanic population, Georgia, heavily African-American population, with the Michigan does have some black voters in it, but Pennsylvania and Wisconsin are heavily, heavily white.
Yes, it's the white people of the North who are turning out for Joe Biden. In fact, if Biden wins Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, he's going to win the Electoral College 270 to 268 if Donald Trump wins all the other swing states. But in a race that close, can you be sure? Peter Baker from the New York Times.
Those people who are not voting for Biden right now are people who did vote for him in 2020, and his task is to remind them why they voted for him and not Donald Trump. The polls that my newspaper has out this morning with Siena College show that the president is behind in 5 out of 6 battleground states, just as he was, despite the momentum he seemed to be getting a little bit after the State of the Union. So all the money that's been spent, all of the campaigning he's been doing, all of the trial images mm-hmm. we've been seeing haven't cut into that Trump lead. So I think that you're going to see them go a little bit more directly at Trump in the weeks and months to come.
They're going to have to do something. You've got the Biden campaign spokesman trying to reassure people that Joe Biden has done more for black Americans than the first black president Barack Obama did.
As it relates to black voters, this campaign is going to make it absolutely clear that Joe Biden, A, has an incredible record of accomplishment. No president has done more for black America in modern history than Joe Biden. You look at the work that he's done since the day he took office. We achieved record low black unemployment under this president. We made historic investments into HBCUs to the tune of $7 billion. We got the highest rate of black small business growth in a generation. And so we're going to campaign on the record, but we're also going to campaign on the vision for the future. And we're going to contrast that against our opponent in Donald Trump.
Okay, here's the problem. If Donald Trump is an existential threat to democracy, Democrats, can you really take a chance on Joe Biden? Can you really take a chance on Joe Biden as the nominee if Donald Trump is the existential threat to democracy that you say he is? Donald Trump is ahead in the popular vote, according to New York Times, Siena, and the polling averages. He's winning in the polling averages in the swing states. Right now, Donald Trump has an electoral college advantage over Joe Biden. Can you really take the chance if he is an existential threat to democracy? Now, it's true. There is optimism for Joe Biden. If Joe Biden is ahead in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, if he wins those states, he wins the Electoral College, even if Trump wins Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. It's true. But when you actually look at the Electoral College polling average, Trump is ahead in all but, I think, Wisconsin. Can you really take a chance? This is not good news for the Democrats. And here's the problem. We're headed towards Memorial Day. You get towards Memorial Day, you get into the summer thing, things kind of lock in place. Now, of course, we all remember in 2022, there's a massive red wave coming. And in August, by the time Supreme Court decisions had settled in, things went upside down for the GOP, and they actually won the popular vote. They won the House. It was kind of a Schrodinger's wave. It happened if you didn't look at it. It didn't happen if you looked at it. In parts of the country, Republicans weren't expected to do well in. They did well. New York and California, for example. In other parts of the nation, they didn't do that well. And overall, they barely won the House. They didn't get the Senate. I guess the Democrats can reassure themselves with that. But can you really take the chance if Donald Trump really is the existential threat? Can you really take the chance? I don't know if you can. They're going to have to try. Now, there are a lot of people out today saying, oh, I guess Joe's going to be booted. He's not going to be the nominee. You know, we can all look at that and say, if the Democrats really believe Trump's the existential threat to democracy, Joe Biden needs to step aside to give the Democrats a fighting chance. But I don't know that that's going to happen. I think the Democrats are so arrogant, Joe Biden's team in particular, is so arrogant, they're not going to do that. They're not going to jump ship. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has a 100,000-person crowd in New Jersey. In New Jersey, he's got a massive crowd. If Donald Trump is found not guilty, I mean, MSNBC and the like, they're all playing down now the chances of a conviction in this trial. MSNBC openly critical now of the prosecutor in the New York case. They love the salaciousness. Michael Cohen on the stand today, we'll get into it in a little bit. They love the salaciousness of it. But can they really take the chance on this? I don't know that they can or they should. I think they're going to. The media, you know, is going to do everything possible to try to do a Joe Biden is the comeback kid narrative. But the bounce that Joe Biden had for a little bit has faded back to Trump wins and Trump winning most of the polling. Again, the Real Clear Politics polling average is kind of telling here for where we are as a nation right now in the polling situation. Trump is up 1.2 points. Morning Consult, he's up 1. Biden up 2 in the tip poll. ABC News up. Biden's up 1. He's up 2 in the tip poll. 4 in the Harvard-Harris for Trump poll. 2 for Biden in the NPR poll. CNN, Trump's up 6. We haven't even gotten into the New York Times-Siena College poll because it was just the swing state polling. But in the swing state polling, it's just not good. Trump's up in the polling average for Wisconsin. He's up in Michigan. He's up 2 in Pennsylvania. He's up pretty secure in North Carolina, in Georgia, in Arizona, in Nevada. Trump is up everywhere. The New York Times Siena poll, it may be an outlier in Nevada because it's got Trump up 13. Nobody else has him up that high. But by the way, they're using likely voters in the polling, people who have a propensity to vote, among likely voters, and that matters because among likely voters, Trump is blowing Biden out of the water right now. So many people, myself included, predicted among a likely voter pool, the polling would shift to Joe Biden. It's not happening right now. This is brutal for Joe Biden. If Donald Trump is the existential threat, Joe Biden's got to step aside. Fareed Zakaria on CNN, the one show in America Joe Biden is known to watch it, to digest it, and to discuss it with others. And Fareed Zakaria is telling Joe Biden, this is looking more and more insurmountable for you, Mr. President. It sucks. It's not fair. We don't like Donald Trump, but something's got to happen. And he's telling Joe Biden, you've got to move to the center immediately or else you're going to lose. Will it force a Biden pivot? The Biden team seems to think they need to turn out progressives. They've made a calculation, and it's a calculation that differs greatly from where reality is.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Hello there. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson. Oh, okay, I gotta, and I may come back to this later, but on Friday, on the show, I ended the show lamenting that I would not be able to see the Northern Lights, and all my listeners up in Kalispell, Montana, and the like, they were going to be able to see the Northern Lights. And on Friday night, my sister texted me from Mississippi and said, go outside, the Northern Lights are out. And she's on a slightly lower latitude than where I am. I thought, if my sister in Mississippi can see them, then maybe I can see the Northern Lights. And I went outside with my wife and kids, and lo and behold, there were the Northern Lights. And I was just flabbergasted. I did not expect to see the Northern Lights, and we could see them with our eyes. We didn't need our cell phones. Our cell phones took amazing pictures, though. In Macon, Georgia, we wound up getting in the car. They were bright enough for us to see them with our eyes. We wound up going out into a farm country where there aren't a lot of lights. And we parked on the side of the road out near a farm where there were no lights and just stood out. My wife and kids sat on the roof of the car. I got outside, and we got to see the Northern Lights. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. I don't say that lightly. I have seen incredible things in my life. I have never seen anything like this. They danced across the sky. They twirled. They flared out like fingers, and you could see it with your eyes. Our phones got more amazing pictures, but it was genuinely the most incredible thing. I'm at a loss for words. If you follow me on Instagram, I put up pictures there. You can text Eric to 33777. Follow the link to Instagram. You can see it. I don't know what to say. What a time to be alive. I actually emailed Tim Cook at Apple, got a nice reply from him, sent him some of the pictures, and said, you guys made it possible for all of us to have the shared experience where we could all take these amazing pictures with phones. It's incredible. It really was incredible. You know, Old Glory Bank is incredible. It's my bank, and I'm delighted to use them. You should use them as well. They're so innovative. They have great budgeting tools online. They have great online bill pay. They have a great app. If you, for example, misplace your debit card with the app, you can pause it. You don't have to cancel it. You can pause it. If you think you know where it is, go find it and then reactivate it. They make it so convenient. You can even deposit cash into your Old Glory Bank account at 88,000 retail locations around the country. It's oldglorybank.com is the website. In 8 minutes or less, it did not take me 8 minutes. It was less than that. Get your bank account. You can get it for your kids as well. No fee checking, no fee savings. A tremendous bank. And they're started by conservatives for conservatives. They don't want to cancel you. They're not going to cancel you. They're not like the big brother banks out there, and they're not going to share your information. OldGloryBank.com. You want to go do business with them. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Terms and conditions apply. OldGloryBank.com. My bank can be your bank.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, because the truth is what matters. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, if you want to be on the program, 877-973-7425. As always, text ENGAGE to 33777, and you can get tickets to the gathering. We've got some great guests lining up. I've invited Chris Carr, the Georgia Attorney General. He is investigating and charging Antifa activists with terrorism-related charges here in Georgia. And also one of the leading attorneys general suing the Biden administration to block a lot of their agenda. So it'll be good to have him with us. In fact, talking about Antifa and their coordination, or as the media says, lack thereof, in obstructing things around the country. You know, some of the Antifa activists who showed up at Columbia University were wearing Stop Cop City shirts, which is their Atlanta operation. Talking to him about the tie-in stuff should be a fascinating conversation. Now, I want to move on to the Trump trial. Again, one more from Fareed Zakaria, because Joe Biden pays attention to him when he doesn't pay attention to anyone else.
And the trials against him keep him in the spotlight, infuriate his base, who sees him as a martyr, and even may serve to make him the object of some sympathy among people in general who believe that his prosecutors are politically motivated. This happens to be true, in my opinion. I doubt the New York indictment would have been brought against a defendant whose name was not Donald Trump. A majority of Americans are skeptical that Trump will be able to get a fair trial, according to a CNN poll.
Now, let me read you the headlines of the Drudge Report, which is decidedly against Trump. Rat face to face with the Don. Secret tape played in court. Cohen could send Trump to prison. Prosecution set to rest. Cohen testifies about negotiating payments and bullying reporters for Trump. Don never sends emails because he's afraid prosecutors can use them. This is from The Guardian. Prosecutor Susan Hoffinger, who, by the way, is a Biden donor, showed an October 8 email from the National Enquirer's Dylan Howard to Michael Cohen with American Media Inc. head David Pecker CC'd, showing that they had deleted a story from Radar from years prior with the Trump tape. On the evening of October 8, 2016, Cohen learned that Stormy Daniels was trying to sell her story. Asked what he thought Daniels' story coming out would be for the campaign, Cohen said, "Catastrophic. This is horrible for the campaign." The prosecutor is showing texts between Michael Cohen and Chris Cuomo, formerly of CNN, a day after the Access Hollywood tape was released. Cuomo texted Cohen, "You going to defend him?" To which Cohen responded back, "I'm in London, as well as I've been asked by everyone to do shows starting Tuesday." At some point, Cuomo responded, "It was too late. He's dying right now." Cohen says Trump instructed him to put a spin on the Access Hollywood tapes. Steve Bannon forwarded Michael Cohen a copy of an email about the Access Hollywood tape. The email was from David Fahrenthold of the Washington Post to Hope Hicks. Urgent Washington Post inquiry. Cohen said he's asking for comment from leak of the tape from Access Hollywood. A transcript was attached to this forwarded email. Cohen replied, "Call me." "Why did he write the email?" Cohen replied, "I wanted to make sure that things were properly being taken care of to protect Trump." This has nothing to do with whether or not Trump committed a federal crime or intended to. All of this is getting mixed up. The media wants the salaciousness of the Trump trial, but the jury has a different aspect of this. So most of you, I suspect, have never been on a jury. I got a smart audience. Y'all get out of it. You know, I've never sat in on a jury trial. Well, no, I take that back. One time I sat in on a jury trial. It was a small criminal matter, and I wanted to. I worked real hard to get on the jury because I was at the time I was a lawyer. I wanted to see what went on in the jury room, and so it was useful. I did it. But otherwise, I have worked very hard to get out of jury duty. Make lots of jokes about jurors. The reality is, though, it's a necessary component of our republic. Jurors are one of the most important pieces of our judicial system. And honestly, there's a level of civic duty. I realize it's an inconvenience, it's a burden, all that, but jurors make a big difference in our system of justice. There are three lawyers on Trump's jury. Maybe they lied. Maybe they want to get him. Maybe all of the jurors hate Donald Trump so much. They want him to be convicted. But I just find it notable that even MSNBC now is starting to downplay this as the prosecutor's about to come to rest. There's a level of salaciousness in the allegations against Donald Trump, but there's not a lot of legal substance there. That Donald Trump committed a fraud. How did he commit a fraud in legal paperwork if no one ever saw the paperwork, so no one was induced by his fraud? And how did Donald Trump attempt to violate a federal law or committed a crime or a cover-up of a crime to a federal law when no federal law has been broken? No one's charged him with this. Everybody is getting hung up on the salaciousness, but the law is at stake here. And the jurors care about that. The juror focuses on that. Yeah, maybe they hate Trump. I mean, most people believe. I mean, you got Fareed Zakaria saying there's no way this guy can get a fair trial. I think that's probably right. I don't know that Donald Trump can get a fair trial. But what if the jury finds him not guilty? Or it's a hung trial. A hung trial would be most fitting. That is, the jury can't come to a verdict. At least one member's a holdout. The rest want him guilty. One person refused to find him guilty. It's a hung trial. I guess you'll have a trial do-over or something like that. The problem here is that if it's a hung trial, which is probably the most fitting outcome, that is, the people who hate Trump went after Trump. The people who love Trump defended Trump. That's where we are as a country. It would be deeply reflective of this jury that Donald Trump is someone who can't get a fair trial. It proves Fareed Zakaria's point. But it's also Fareed Zakaria raising this sends a signal to Joe Biden as well that lawfare is not going to get Trump. If anything, this is beginning to make Trump seem sympathetic to independent voters. And that's a point that I think people can gloss over within the Biden administration. They can gloss over it. They can forget it. That there are real people in America who vote, who pay attention to these things, who are engaged with these issues. And when they see what amounts to a witch hunt against Donald Trump, these sorts of things, they impact the election in ways that the Democrats can't foresee. Boy, the Democrats thought they had him. They really thought they had Donald Trump. They thought they had him. They threw everything at him, and he's still on top. In fact, James Carville is having a moment. James Carville, I don't know who the audience was. This is some sort of live stream James Carville was doing. He's wearing his Mardi Gras colored polo long sleeve shirt. He's standing in front of a whiteboard. It's just him and the camera, and Carville is having a moment.
And Trump's more ahead than he's ever been. Fewer people think January 6th was any kind of what it was. It was an assault on the temple of democracy. It's going the wrong way. It's not working. Everything that we're throwing is spaghetti at a wall, and none of it is sticking, me included. And it's hard when you're starting your 80th year, and you know, like anybody else, I have an opinion of myself. And the opinion I've come to is I don't matter. It doesn't matter. You can prepare. You can be on TV, or you can write pieces. You can have a YouTube channel. You can have a podcast. And nothing. And, you know, we got to, like, try to think of something different. Because what we're doing is really, really not working.
Yeah, James, this is how we felt against Bill Clinton. What goes around comes around. Now you know how we felt against Clinton in the 90s. Everything you threw at him, he just kept rebounding. This is Trump. Everything that you can hear the exasperation in his voice, everything they try. And again, this comes back to Donald Trump's unique superpower. He makes everyone else behave in the way they claim he behaves. Now, claim is the important word here because it doesn't matter whether or not he actually behaves that way. It's they claim he behaves in that way, and they begin to act in that way. And only Donald Trump is Donald Trump. We've seen candidate after candidate after candidate run for office, act like Donald Trump, and they lose. The voters reject him. Donald Trump's the only one who gets to do it. He's the one the voters give a pass. And the Democrats haven't figured that out. And they haven't been willing to counter a narrative. And Trump's campaign crowd size continues to grow. Did y'all see the New Jersey rally? Here's Joe Conchi. He was on Fox News.
Dakota, overall, it was amazing to see 100,000 people, according to the city of Wildwood, at this rally. And all of them congregated, and no one rioted, and no one looted, and there wasn't any anti-Semitism in the air. It was a happy environment, whether we're talking about the crowd, whether we're talking about Donald Trump, who relished the moment.
So, you know, Donald Trump was making a joke about Hannibal Lecter, and he was really very sarcastic about Hannibal Lecter is a wonderful man. I'm having a friend for dinner. Have you seen the movie? The crowd was laughing. He was joking. This is literally the CNN cry on this morning. Trump praises Hannibal Lecter as wonderful man. No, I'm not making that up. CNN is actually questioning Donald Trump praising Hannibal Lecter. He was clearly being sarcastic, and they're yet again, they're doing this to Donald Trump. They're taking him, what is it, they take him literally when they're just supposed to take him seriously, the Selena Zito line? And they're mocking him. They're scoffing him. And they're trying to get people to rebuke him for saying this sort of stuff where he was just being funny. He was just being funny. He was being sarcastic. But these people have no sense of humor. And the result is that Donald Trump keeps beating them. You got guys like James Carville exasperated, saying we're throwing stuff at the wall, hoping like spaghetti it sticks and nothing's sticking. They're throwing me at the wall and I'm not sticking. Nothing's sticking to Donald Trump. They haven't figured out how to beat him. And you know why? The answer here is actually a really easy answer to figure out. Why can't the Democrats find something to beat Donald Trump with? There's plenty to beat him with. Why can't they do it? It's very simple. It's because they hate him so much, they just presume everyone else does as well. So they can't find relatable arguments because everything they do is premised on hating Donald Trump. So they've dropped the ball. They've missed everything. There are ways to combat Donald Trump, but you can't do it from a position of we hate him and everybody else does as well. Let's remind people how much we all hate him. That's not an effective message. It's the best they've got at this point. It's the only thing they can internalize. And that's the problem for the Democrats. Their entire strategy stinks. They should get an Eden Pure thunderstorm because it wipes out noxious odors. Maybe the Eden Pure thunderstorm, they run their campaign plan through it. It can clean up the air in their offices. The Eden Pure thunderstorm, it is an air purifier and an odor eliminator. You can get three of them and save $200 at EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is ERIC3, E-R-I-C-K-3. You go to EdenPureDeals.com, you put in ERIC3, you get three Eden Pure thunderstorms, one for upstairs, downstairs, your basement, your RV, your travel bag, wherever you need them. And they pack them all up. They get rid of smoke odors, litter box odors, musty odors, pet odors, the wet dog odor, the litter box odor, the frying odor from the kitchen. They wipe them out. I've been in hotels that use them to get rid of fireplace odors. I've used one in my hotel room if someone smoked in the hotel room, even a rental car, because you can plug it in with a USB cord in a car, and it just works. You can plug it into the wall as well. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is ERIC3. You got stinky air, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm can wipe them out. Get three of them, save $200. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is ERIC3, E-R-I-C-K-3.
When the world seems crazy, he'll keep you sane. It's the Eric Erickson Show. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
This hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan Nationwide. If your business is growing and you need capital to help you grow further, First Liberty can help you. First Liberty Building and Loan makes their own lending decisions. If you need $250,000 or more to buy a building or build a building or buy a franchise, deals like that, reach out to them. FirstLibertyGA.com. FirstLibertyGA.com. Melinda Gates is resigning from the Gates Foundation, effective June 7th. Not all that a big deal here, except I want to read for you the last paragraph. This is a critical moment for women and girls in the U.S. and around the world and those fighting to protect and advance equality are in urgent need of support. Under the terms of my agreement with Bill and leaving the foundation, I will have an additional $12.5 billion to commit to my work on behalf of women and families. I'll be sharing more about what that will look like in the near future. Sounds like Melinda Gates is about to dump $12 billion into the American political system. The Gates Foundation is 501c3, can't do it from there, so she's got to pull the money out. That's her money, part of, the, I guess, the divorce or whatever, and she's going to dump a lot of money into politics. Given the way these billionaires are spending their money to help Biden, I don't know that it's going to work. By the way, Bill Gates has decided he is signing on to a project. He wants to essentially smoke up the air, spread chemical in the air to reflect light to solve global warming. That's their strategy, is to alter the atmosphere. What's the worst that could happen? The arrogance of these billionaires. And that gets to the problem. You know, so I was in Vegas a couple of weeks ago, a weekend before last, meeting with Republican donors who finally are realizing that a lot of the ways they spend money is dumb. And they wanted some guidance on how to have practical impact in elections. And this is the second year in a row I've sat down with them and talked to them. And I see this on the left and the right, where the billionaires are so used to being convinced they're right because they made a lot of money, therefore everybody should listen to them. And that's not actually the way it goes. They are really good at that one thing, and they can't keep the one thing the one thing. They expand and spread, and the result is they get hosed by consultants who bleed them dry. And then in the process of bleeding them dry, they get no return on their investment. And here comes Melinda Gates with her signaling, I got $12 billion, come take advantage of me, political consultants. I don't know that it's going to work for them. 877-973-7425. That's the phone number on the program. If you want to call in today, don't forget to text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777. When we come back, Jen Psaki has done a Christy Noem. No. She hasn't put a bullet in the head of a dog. She's just written a book and has gotten serious factual errors wrong. And what's notable is how so many of the D.C. press corps are covering for Jen Psaki in ways they wouldn't for Christy Noem. Now, you can say, well, that's because Christy Noem, the salaciousness, what have you, she's vetting to be vice president, Jen Psaki's not, except we know there's like this protection racket in D.C. for their own, and they view Jen Psaki as their own. There was no outrage over her going to MSNBC. None. Prearranged before she even left the White House. But what's interesting is in her book, what Jen Psaki has chosen to lie about. And she actually, of all things, I give Alex Thompson with the Atlantic credit. He is calling her out on this. She lied about something significant. And now she's having to apologize and say future versions of her book will be changed. But notice how quiet it is. One or two people, not the entire press corps, going after Jen Psaki for this lie.